This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthih. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. La siyama al-mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran wa ba'd. Today, inshallah, brothers and sisters, and in affiliation with An-Nawawi Institute, and also a group of beautiful students and teachers at the Islamic University in Malaysia, we'll be presenting this short presentation about the jinn kind, their nature, their abilities, and the means of protection against them, and the kind of position, if there is any, sorcery, means of protection, and means of cure, inshallah. Normally, that is being taught in a whole course over several hours. But that was the request, and they're very dear to my heart, Malaysians in general, alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, we'll do our best in the next about 50 minutes presentation. Then, in the remaining time, we will start answering your questions and concerns, hopefully in the same order they were received. What is the term jinn means? We know that ins means human beings. And the root word of ins is from nisyan, which is forgetfulness. Al-insan nasi. Al-jinn is the opposite of the human beings or the insi. And it is actually a plural word. Its singular is jinni. And they were given that name jinn because of their nature of being concealed. You cannot see them. The Quran says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. That Satan and his allies, his offspring, and his host of the jinn, they can see you, and you cannot see them. When was the last time you met with a jinni? When was the last time that we have a soccer team playing a final tournament with a soccer team of the jinn? None. Never happened. So that's why they were called jinn, because of their nature of concealing themselves, okay? Of hiding. What about the word shaytan and shayateen? Shaytan is a singular and shayateen is a plural. And it is from sha-ta-na, which means very rebellious, outlaw, okay? And that's why the term shaytan can be addressing a human being or a jinn kind or even an animal, whenever the animal is acting very weird and jumping around and hurting people wild. They say shaytan, okay? When the camel goes crazy, they call shaytan, a black dog, and they call shaytan. So the word shayateen, when it comes to the jinn, means the very rebellious jinn. And the jinn are not all the same. Some of them are believers, some of them are non-believers. And some of the believers are true believers and some are sinners. Okay, the Quran tells us all about that. And there are different categories based on their strength and their effect and their harm. So the worst kind, after the shaitan, there is the marid or the mard. And then there is al-ifrit. Al-ifrit is the worst kind of jinn ever. قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. Okay? So ifrit is the worst kind of the jinn. While the word shaitan can cover a rebellious person, whether jinn kind, human being, or even animal. We as Muslims don't have to spend more time to confirm that it is a part of the belief of the believers, the Muslimin, that the jinn do exist. And we know Allah about them even though they are totally unseen. Like nowadays, can any ordinary people or laymen say there is no such thing which is called COVID-19? Say you're foolish. We see people dying day and night, even though ordinary people cannot see it. You need a pathologist, a virologist, and an electric microscope. And till this moment, we don't know much about the formation of the virus and the transformation of the virus itself, okay? So the jinn kind is unseen to us, but they do exist. Some of us have seen jinn, such as the prophets, as we will be talking, and even some human beings. And the vast majority of us never met a jinn, but they live around us, and we recognize their presence, and we believe so. So believing in the presence of the jinn kind is a must for a person to be Muslim, because that is stated in the Quran. And whoever denies the presence or the existence of the jinn or the malaika, he's simply not Muslim. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, he ordered al-malaika to greet Adam through bowing down to him. He said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. In Surah Al-Kahf, that's mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah as well as in Surah Al-Kahf in ayah number 50. In Surah Al-Kahf, it tells us when Allah said to the angels, "Usjudu li Adam," bow down to Adam, "Fasajadu illa Iblisa kana min al-jinni fafasaqa an amri rabbih." So brothers and sisters, this is the bottom line. Anytime, anywhere you read in the book that there is no difference between the jinn kind and the angels, and they're all the same, that's a pure fake news. The reality is the Quran in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 50, stated that Iblis from Ablasa, which became rebellious, outlaw, he was always, and he's been one of the jinn. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. But like the human beings, they were given the choice. So Iblis was one of the believers, and he always hung around the angels. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to bow down to Adam, they did. Then Allah the Almighty saw that Iblis, okay, didn't. He said, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Why didn't you bow down like them? They said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. I'm better than him. خَلَقَتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقَتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. I'm better than him. Look, you've created me, and he started by himself from fire. And you've created him from teen, from mud. And you know the story. So the ayah is a cornerstone in our belief that الشياطين and الجن have nothing to do with the angels. As a matter of fact, their creation is totally different. And that's why you find in Surah Al-Hijr, beautiful surah, in the two consecutive ayahs, 26 and 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ. That indeed we have created al-insan, you, me, and all the human beings, from salsal, clay, which is taken from burned, dark mud. Okay? وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. This ayah also benefited us, ayah number 27, Surah Al-Hijr, that al-jinn were created before the human beings, because Allah said, مِنْ قَبْلُ, before the creation of the human beings. مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ, a special fire, which is explained in another ayah in Surah Al-Rahman, ayah number 15. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. Not any kind of fire, but a smokeless flame. يعني define his fire. And that's why Shaitan thought he is superior to Adam, and he said, I ain't bound down to him. I'm not going to make sujood or greet this creation who's inferior to me. So al-jannah khalaqnahu min qablu min nari samum, or min marijin min nar, created from a smokeless flame. And al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sound hadith which is collected by Imam Muslim, Aisha radiyallahu anha narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that al-malaika, the angels, were created from nur, from light. Wal-jan min marijin min nar, a smokeless flame. وَخُلِقَ آدَمُ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ. As for Adam, you know how he was created. Huh? مِنْ طِين, from clay. Well, in this case, that would lead us to ask some questions about the nature of the jinn. Like, are they like us? Do they have gender? males and females, that doesn't exist in the angels. But in the case of the jinn, do they reproduce? Do they get married? Do they eat? Do they drink? Do they die? Were they given the taklif, the free choice like the human beings? Are they going to undergo their word and punishment, accountability and reckoning on the day of judgment? These are very important and valid questions. So the jinn kind are like human beings in many things, and they differ from the human beings in many other things. For instance, they have the genders, the males and females, men and women, and they get married, and they reproduce, and they commit adultery, and they, like human beings exactly, they eat, they drink. In Surah Al-Jinn, remember why I said a person who denies the presence of the jinn isn't Muslim? There is in the Quran multiple mentions of the jinn, and there is an entire surah from beginning to end. It's called Surah Al-Jinn. And in this surah, the jinn, they speak and they introduce themselves. They say, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. And number six, the reality before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, the Arab, whenever traveling across the desert, if they fear the jinn, if they enter any valley, they think that it is inhabited by the jinn. So in order to gain security, they would say, we seek refuge in the masters of this valley. The jinn will be very delighted and they say, look, the human beings, Adam's children, they seek help with us against us. فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. It only increases the human beings in burden. This is my right hand, by the way. You know, I could have neglected drinking the tea, but my wife made it. And you know what happens if you don't drink a tea that your wife made it? You would be in trouble. In addition to the fact that it's good, very good, mashallah, very good tea. Another proof that they have the gender, human beings, like human beings. An-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever you enter Al-Khala, in the past, they used not to go to bathrooms. They didn't have bathrooms. So they go to the open areas, Khala. And those open areas, date palm trees and desert, were mainly inhabited by the jinn. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this beautiful dua to say, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْخُبْثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you against Al-Khubth wal-Khaba'ith. My beloved viewers, I know you all know this dua, but how many of us explain to their children why do we recite this supplication? That would be lovely. Saffron tea, mashallah. What is the meaning of Al-Khubth wal-Khaba'ith? And how many of your kids said, Ma, Dad, why do we say A'udhu bika min Al-Khubth wal-Khaba'ith? You say, jinn kind. So why don't we say, Allahumma inna a'udhu bika min al-jinn, or a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, and that's it. In fact, al-khubthu wal-khaba'ith refer to the male and the female jinn kind. When you enter the bathroom and you take off your clothes to answer the call of nature, you're exposed to those who live in these dirty places of the jinn, men and women, males and females of the jinn. So that's why I seek refuge against them. What is the purpose of creating the jinn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among his names, Al-Hakim, he doesn't do anything but for a wise reason. So what is the hikmah? In Surah Al-Dhariyat, the Almighty Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Having created both the jinn kind and the human kind, but to worship me. Obviously, all the creatures do, but the only two species, the only creation of Allah was given the free choice. Oh my God, again, wallahi, this is my right hand, this is my right hand, and this is my left hand. What shall I do? Here. You see this? It's written backward, right? You see this? You will see it backward. I hope that is sufficient. I don't have to go through this again. Every time I'll take the medication, you can read it backward. Okay. I hope that is enough. We're going to spend plenty of time today explaining. I'm going to tell my wife not to fix me tea anymore while giving a live show. Okay, what a waste of time. Alhamdulillah. You know what? Let me finish this all at once. So this way I will make everybody happy. I'll make my wife happy. And those who see that I'm drinking with my left hand, I'll make them happy. But not drinking. You know, brothers and sisters, in addition to explaining many times, this is a mirror image and this is a front camera and all of that, it shows the diversity in the understanding of the audience. Wallahi, some of the audience, maybe once they write to you, Sheikh, I love you so much, you're my mentor, you're my role model. And when he sees you drinking where he thinks that you're drinking with the left hand, he skins you off. Wallahi, you will see some people, shame on you, saying, shame on you. You're teaching us and you're drinking with the left hand. What if I was left-handed already? What if I can hold a cup? I actually was treated for a while because I couldn't use my right hand for several months, subhanAllah. What if give people the benefit of doubt for God's sake? Okay, give them an excuse. You should think good of people, husn al-dhanni, not just the sheikh. All people, think good of them. Barakallahu feekum. Okay? So I'm going to tell my wife, honey, don't make me tea anymore. I'll drink two cups after the show, inshallah. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وكان النبي يبعث إلى قومه وبعثت إلى الإنس والجن. That's a clear message. That the Prophet ﷺ said, I have been sent to both the human beings and the jinn kind. And Surah Al-Jinn, as well as some ayat in Surah Al-Ahqaf, explained that while the Prophet ﷺ was traveling, and at night when he started praying and reciting Quran, a group of the jinn gathered. They were floating and they were browsing. They were traveling. So they heard the beautiful recitation and said, has he been sent? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they came down. And this is when they started listening to the Quran and dispatch of the jinn. They all accepted faith and they went to their people to give them da'wah. Surah Al-Jinn says so, and Surah Al-Ahqaf. And they shared with us that they recognize that Muhammad has been sent and the Quran has been revealed, because what they used to do before of overhearing and the only sky, the writing of the angels, whenever they take the annual commandment of Allah, the decree, they can't do it anymore. Because now there are armors, shooting stars, awaiting them. Whoever would dare to come close to overhear or to spy, a star, a shooting star, will shoot him down and will chase him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the jinn spoke about themselves in ayah number 15 of Surah Al-Jinn. It says, وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا, which means when they said, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ, some of us are believers and some of us are none. For the non-believers of the jinn, they said, they will be the fire logs of hellfire. That's understood, like human beings, exactly whenever they disbelieve. Also in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Ar-Rahman, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ, and for whomever fears the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acts accordingly, Allah will reward them with two gardens in Al-Jannah. You know that many times in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah said, especially if you listen to it by Sheikh Qari Abdul Basit, it is very fascinating. فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors and the blessings of your Lord, both of you, the jinn kind and the human beings, deny? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reciting the surah and they said, you know what? Your brothers of the jinn were better than you in respect of responding to this ayah. This is a question Allah is asking. Do you deny any of the blessings of your Lord? So they replied saying, وَلَا بِأَيِّمْ مِنْ آلَائِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبْ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. We do not deny nor dismiss any of your favors, our Lord, so praise be to you. Okay. The most important point that we need to tackle today is the power and the ability of the jinn. Are you ready to hear that? There is a lot of myth. We hear a lot of things. We read fiction stories. And those who are obsessed with watching horror movies, Hollywood horror movies and Bollywood and whatever word, they, or maybe you read Harry Potter and stuff like that. So you think that the jinn are, besides being invisible, that they can do everything. Can they? Is their power without limit, limitless power? What can they do and what cannot they do? That's a serious question. In Surah Ibrahim alayhi salam, in ayah number 22, I'm not collecting any questions on the WhatsApp whatsoever. WhatsApp numbers are for calls during the live programs on Huda TV. But now you can send your questions and inquiries here in the comment bar as you're writing your question or your comment. Okay? So, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah says on the Day of Judgment, when all of us will be presented before Him, the angels, the human beings, the jinn, and all the creatures, now people will start blaming each other, and people will say to Satan and to the jinn, blaming them that you misled us. So as shaitan will say, Allah indeed has promised you the truth, and I promised you a fake promise, but you followed me, even though I did not have any authority over you. I did not hold your hand to pull the trigger. I did not force you to commit adultery. I did not force you to drink. I just whispered to you, and you loved it. لا تلوموني, blame me not, rather you should blame yourselves. This is what the Quran says about the ability of ash-shaytan. It doesn't mean that they are powerless. No, they have plenty of power that overpowering human beings as well. So in Surah Al-Jinn, the two ayahs 8 and 9, Allah says that the jinn said, وَأَنَّا لَمَسْنَا السَّمَاءَ فَوَجَدْنَاهَا مُلِئَتْ حَرَسًا شَدِيدًا وَشُهُبًا وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. I'm going to explain to you, Sister Suraya, the meaning of these two ayahs. That the jinn used to spy. As you know that Allah dictates to the angels the commandments of what they need to do annually on Laylatul Qadr. So they write it down. As they're writing down in their tablets, Satans and the jinn will go up to the heaven, to the world heaven, and spy, start listening to the writing. If they can collect some information pertaining to the future unseen, what is going to happen? So they go to one king, to the sorcerer, who the king is utilizing, or a soothsayer, or a fortune teller, one of those fakers, and they say, one of their allies of the human beings, King so-and-so, he will have a son on such and such day, and his name will be whatever, because that is stated to the angels. So he goes to the king, to the head, the monk, and he says, indicating like he knows the future, this is going to happen. So when it happens, the whole country and the whole nation, and maybe the neighboring nations, they believe in this monk, in this sorcerer, in this soothsayer, and they say, he knows the future. You know what? If he tells them the day of judgment will be on 2020, as they say, as they used to say, they will all believe him. Why? This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So they bring some true news. When? Okay? وَيَكْذِبُونَ مَعَهَا مِئَةَ كَذِبَةً. Then they will share false news, even 100 lies, but people would still believe them. After the Prophet ﷺ have been sent, they cannot go near the holy heaven. So it will be all speculations, mere guesses. No one knows the future or the unseen but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know how some people know where the hidden things are being hidden and stuff like that? This is not totally unseen. There's something that happened on earth. Some people have seen it. Some jinn have seen it. But we're talking about the unseen of what will happen in the future. What will take place in the future? None knows it but Allah and whomever Allah allows to know. Do they eat? Do they drink? Do they have sex? Do they have children? They eat, they drink, they have sex, they have children, they commit sins, they drink, they commit adultery and everything. In the sound hadith which is collected by Imam Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَسْتَحِلُّ الطَّعَامَ الَّذِي لَمْ يُذْكَرْ إِسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Satans would eat any food as long as the people forget or do not mention the name of Allah upon it. So this food becomes theirs. People complain that we eat and there is no barakah because you haven't been eating the entire food. Satans are eating with you. They enter the house with you. They eat the meal with you. If you don't say the name of Allah prior to eating upon the food you're eating, then it's not only you who are eating it. You have a company eating with you. Satan will say to his company, "Daminna al-mabit," we guaranteed lodging in his house today because he walked in and he said, Bismillah. And daminna al-asha, and we guaranteed dinner because he started eating without mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what prevents Satan from touching our food? Mentioning the name of Allah prior to entering the house, prior to eating, and prior to having sexual relations with one spouse. You know how many people say to a child, he's satanic, he's very rebellious. As a matter of fact, that has an origin. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even when the person embraces his wife sexually and does not recite a particular dua to word of Satan and keep him away, then Satan will be partner to this relationship. Or in should say, one should say, Allahumma jannibna ash-shaytana wa jannib ash-shaytana ma razaqatana. O Allah, protect us against Satan and keep Satan away from us and protect our offspring against Satan. I know you're sending questions. Inshallah, I have about 25 minutes left. We'll get to speak about sorcery and positions and black magic and whatever. Then inshallah, we'll start answering your questions, hopefully in the same order they were received. Okay? So bear with me. The jinn have the ability of changing their images or appearing in various forms and shapes. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the jinn kind are different types. Some of them, they have wings and they fly. That's in the sound hadith, by the way. They have wings and they fly. And some of them are in the form of snakes. And some of them, they, like human beings, travelers. They encamp here and they encamp there and they keep traveling. Harming or not harming by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can appear in the images of animals, camels, cows, sheep, horses, donkeys, black dogs particularly, okay, or even human beings. And you know that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in Mecca and right prior to his migration, when the Meccan chieftains decided to assassinate and eliminate Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran says in Surah Al-Anfal, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ وَمَا وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Okay, what does it mean? When the Meccan chieftains gathered in their country club, each one of them suggested something to kick him out, to exile him, to throw him in prison, because now his uncle is dead, so we can do whatever. Some suggested killing him, but they said, but his family, his clan would not leave us alone, and it will be like rivers of bloodshed. So as Shaitan, Satan himself, the one who refused to bow down to Adam, alayhi salam, appeared to him as one of the chieftains, and he proposed to them this devilish idea of appointing one of the most strong people, the strongest people from various tribes, and then 40 or more, chop him off, cut him into pieces at the same time, so his family will not be able to take revenge from all those tribes and clans. Rather, they will just accept the blood money and end of quote. Whose idea was it? That was the idea of a shaitan. The Quran also recorded a shaitan appearing to them, to the Meccans on the Battle of Badr, to support them. He appeared as Suraqa ibn Malik, and even though Suraqa ibn Malik have nothing to do with it. But normally, shayateen appear in terrible images, scary images, while the angels only appear in nice images, okay, the images of beautiful, handsome human beings like Dihya al-Kalbi, radiyallahu anhu. No matter what they do, they can never present or appear in the image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not even in a dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented them from doing so. So anyone have seen the Prophet in his dream with the exact traits and description, then that is truly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaytan can never appear in the image of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh, quickly please. The world today is suffering a great deal from sorcery, magic, and magical spells. And the United States spend billions of dollars every year on the matter of exorcism. They believe in positions where the evil spirits possess the human beings, the bodies of the human beings, and many of Muslims do. Is this superstition? What is the reality behind it? Is there anything that is called sihr, magic? And what is black magic? So to begin with, magic is magic, whether black or white. There is no black magic. Magic is all haram. There is magic which is depending on the utilization of the jinn, satans, or al-afariq, ifritum min al-jinn. And there is sorcery in the form of magic, in the form of illusion, that's not called magic. You know, playing cards and being capable to elude people. You think that they cut somebody into half, in reality it was two people. It's a matter of being swift in the movement. That's not called the magic that we're talking about, the utilization of the jinn or the magical spells. We're talking about the magic which is equivalent to disbelief or kufr. Whether you do it, or you ask somebody to do it, or you utilize somebody to do it, or you actually utilize it in order to undo another magic. Al-Quran confirmed that there is sihr. So denying sihr is denying the Quran. I know some people say, you know, those you who keep scaring you, I don't believe in the jinn, I don't believe in sihr, I don't believe in evil eye. Well, you don't believe in Islam to begin with, as a matter of fact. You don't believe in Islam because that is all stated in the Quran. That is all stated in the Quran. In Surah Al-Baqarah, in ayah 102, and this ayah, we explained it a few times before, it's a lecture by itself. It says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ سحر, magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved the innocence and the genuine nature of Prophet Sulaiman, peace be upon him, because the Jews accused Prophet Sulaiman of being a sorcerer and utilizing the jinn and Satan's ruling over human beings, which is not true. This is what they claimed about Prophet Sulaiman, peace be upon him. So Allah says, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ. No, Sulaiman was a revered prophet. He was not a kafir. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. Rather, Satans have disbelieved in Allah because they used to teach people sorcery. And he also says in the ayat, for those who learn sorcery, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. Learning sorcery is equivalent to kufr. Teaching sorcery is kufr. Utilization of a sorcerer or a magician to achieve whatever, lot of people, she wants to marry this man. She wants him to fall in love with her. So she goes to a sorcerer and she pays him. He says, just give me anything of his leftover after cutting nails or cutting hair or some of his clothes. So he takes that and he utilizes his belonging to sow some magical spells. What we call it, nuts. Excuse me. Would you guys allow me to drink with my right hand? I swear to Allah, this is my right hand. Bismillah. This ayah is very crucial. It's very significant, very important in this respect, brothers and sisters. Allah says, even though sorcerers and the jinn have the ability of harming people via sorcery, in the same ayah He says, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They can never harm anyone via sihr except by the leave of Allah. And why would Allah permit that? We'll talk about it inshallah in a minute. But among their ability and the evil work of sorcery, Allah says, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. They learn the tricks and the magical spells of parting between a man and his wife. A loving couple. You know, I'm working for years in marriage counseling, professional marriage counseling. And sometimes you see some cases either on the verge of divorce or they have already divorced. And when you know about their history, 20 years of marriage, they were like Romeo and Juliet, Qais and Layla. It's a love story. So what happened? What happened? I've seen some people, they fought the world in order to get married. And they loved each other like none before. Then they became enemies. There is a great possibility that somebody has utilize any of their belonging and cast a magical spell to make the wife hate the husband. A chief judge called me once and says, for no reason, my wife is begging me for divorce and she's giving me hell. I said, what about the kids? She says, take them. I don't want any of them. And she became very rebellious. I said, all of a sudden? Yes, all of a sudden. I said, can you do me a favor and can you recite Surah Al-Baqarah? He said, no. Why not? It's too heavy. One of the means of detecting whether there is a magical spell in the house or if the person is under the influence and effect of magic is being unable to either hear the Quran, listen to the Quran, or recite the Quran, particularly Surah Al-Baqarah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تستطيعها البطلة. Neither the sorcerers nor the jinn can bear the effect of Surah Al-Baqarah. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited, Satan can never enter for 3 days. Oh, okay, if this is the case, I'm going to recite it every 3 days. Or I will recite it once, my wife another, and my son. So we'll keep doing so, taking turns. The Quran in general, but particularly Surah Al-Baqarah, which has the greatest ayah in the Quran, ayat Al-Kursi, which is also one of the greatest means of warding of sorcery and magic and magicians and evil eye and so on. I know this is going to be kind of problematic to many people when I say that sorcery has been practiced at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It was practiced before and also at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So it's actually a reality, brothers and sisters. We cannot deny it. You cannot say there is nothing called sihr, it's all illusion. No, there is sihr, there is evil eye, there is magic, there is hasad. Insha'Allah, in a separate session, I'm going to speak about the evil eye and al-ayn and al-hasad and the difference between both of them and show you that sometimes a person can even envy his own child. And the other day I had a call from Canada where a person was saying that my own mother is envying me and giving me an evil eye. We'll be talking about in a separate session, inshallah, azza jal. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed that there is sihr, there is magic, there is sorcery. And he shared with us that mere visiting a sahir, a sorcerer, believing that he has the power to do anything, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. Visiting a soothsayer, a fortune teller, a palmist who reads a palm, asking them for help, that is an act of disbelief. فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. And the sihr or magic or sorcery, different types. The worst type, which comes directly from a shaitan or the jinn. And brothers and sisters, please, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you enter al-khala, the bathroom, recite this dua, you got to think about it. We said a few minutes ago, teach your children, it is al-khubth wal-khaba'ith, I seek refuge with you, O Allah, against the male and the female jinn. Okay, got it? And then, why? Can a jinn fall in love with a human being? It happens. But the human beings doesn't know. He doesn't have to know. So the jinn may possess the body of the human being. Is this something that you're guessing, or that is because it is practiced widely in the USA and exorcism and people pay a lot of money for that and they go to the church for that? It is actually confirmed in the sunnah. Multiple ahadith confirming that. And the Prophet ﷺ has recited ruqya in the means of exorcism at least to a couple people during his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the jinn left the body immediately. Exorcism is permitted only via the means of the recitation of the Quran or the supplications of the ruqya. Other means, like you gotta bring me an orphan chicken and three-legged sheep and a rooster from here and there and doing things like that, this is the work of Satan's. This is the work of the sorcerers. This is haram. So it is not permissible to undo the evil eye or the sorcery or whatever, utilizing the jinn or utilizing the sorcerers who utilize the jinn. The worst kind of sorcery is whatever is done directly by the jinn or a shayateen. Then following that is what is done by the sorcerers through the help and the assistance of Satan's. And whoever practices that is absolutely kafir. You know what we recite? Just to confirm that from the Quran this is happening. In Surah Al-Falaq, we all know Surah Al-Falaq. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. In ayah number 4, we say, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And I seek refuge with you against النَّفَّاثَات, plural of نَفَّاث, those who blow. They blow while reciting certain talisman or ta'weed. So they bring a rope, maybe they take the hair of somebody and they tie some knots around the hair in order to keep the person constantly under this magical spell, affected to hate his wife, to hate her husband, to hate their children, to leave their job, to be addicted to whatever. And in this case, while reciting some words that Satan taught them, they tie the knots. And that's why we say in Surah Al-Falaq, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And I seek refuge with you against those who blow while making the knots, Satan's and the sorcerers. When the Prophet ﷺ sent Ali ibn Abi Talib to fetch out a magical spell that was buried, and it was done by a Jew by the name Labid ibn al-A'sam, around some hair, they fetched it from an abandoned well. And then the Prophet ﷺ started undoing it one after another. They were about 12 knots, subhanallah. So sorcery is a fact. Practicing sorcery is an act of kufr. And there is, and there are means of protection against sorcery, and there are means of cure even when the sorcery has been practiced. As far as the means of protection, and this is what matters most, remaining 5 minutes, inshallah, azza jal, then we'll start taking your questions. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سئل ما تعوذ بمثله ما قط. There is no better means of protection against sihr, sorcerers, jinn, satans, an evil eye, better than the recitation of suratay al-falaq and an-nas. They're being called in Islam al-mu'awwidhatan. Al-mu'awwidhatan is dual. Its singular is al-mu'awwidha, يعني it is a surah which is used as means of protection. Don't wear a talisman or ta'weez or an amulet. Recite it. And the recitation is, it is best when you comprehend and you understand their meaning. Each ayah of them. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ and so on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on daily basis, brothers and sisters, on daily basis, brothers and sisters, used to recite them, especially prior to going to sleep. How many people, wallahi, suffer of bad dreams, nightmares, which is also the result of sorcery, okay, or being possessed by any of the jinn. So before going to bed, you need this divine protection. Recitation of Ayat al-Kursi. The last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ To the end, وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites them at night, kafata, they will be sufficient for him. He doesn't need any further protection. Why doesn't it work with some people? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَلُ دُعَاءً مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَاهٍ Allah doesn't accept the prayer, the supplication of somebody who is unaware and negligent. You know, I have seen here when somebody is reciting the means of protection and he's browsing the social media. So one hand is busy, he's reading, but his tongue, he's reading by his mind, the post, the messages, he's going through them, or watching a movie or a clip. He doesn't want to waste time. And meanwhile, he's reciting the mu'awwidhat. Are you kidding me? And you say, it doesn't work with me, I don't even wake up for Fajr. Come on, man. Protection means protection. Whenever the physician prescribes a medication, there is some medication which must be taken before meal, some after meal, some within the meal, some half hour before, an hour after, and you're very particular about the timing. Why? Because you want the medication to work. It's very expensive. The Quran is there. It was working perfectly with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the Sahaba used to recite Ruqya, what? Surah Al-Fatiha, alone. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu used to recite, when somebody would ask him for Ruqya, sure. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's it, Surah Al-Fatiha, yes. I know some people accepted Islam, they were non-Muslims, only because of Surah Al-Fatiha, while literally, vast majority of Muslims till this moment, they don't understand its effect, its greatness. It is the greatest surah in the entire Quran. It is Ummul Kitab, the mother of the entire Quran. Fatihatul Kitab. Can I just recite it as Ruqya? Yeah, can you imagine? So, what do you think of calling people and taking Ruqya over the phone? No, don't do it. You can do the Ruqya yourself. You can do the Ruqya yourself. If somebody whom you assume that this person is righteous, like if the imam of your masjid is truly righteous and you take your child and you ask him to recite ruqya for him, this is permissible. He will place his right hand, the palm, on his forehead or the chest. Never do to the opposite gender. Never trust any person who says he recites ruqya even for free. And you are so naive, you take your wife or your daughter to a man, he puts his hand on her chest and he starts reciting Quran. This is evil. That is not permissible. Don't be fooled. Do not let anyone fool you. It will never be effective. It's a clear violation of what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So recite Ruqya for yourself. Recite it for your children. On daily basis, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk in to the room of Hassan or Hussein, his grandchildren. And you say, أُعِيذُكُمَا بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَامَّةِ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّةِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. This supplication I explained repeatedly before, just for the sake of time, because I need to answer your questions. So Surah Al-Fatiha, Ayat Al-Kursi, Al-Mu'awwidhatayn, or Al-Mu'awwidhat, particularly before going to sleep. Okay? Do that on a regular basis. Whenever you're really angry, one of the signs of being possessed by the shaitan or by the jinn is being offended whenever you hear the Quran. Subhanallah, somebody was a hafiz. She was very devout and she used to pray night prayer, not anymore. Actually, she drags her feet to stand up to pray the fard. Now, why? Shaitan, sorcery, magical spell, migraine, which is not occasionally, constant headache, fighting for a reason or no reason. Same household, they were very nice people. Everybody envied them for being cool. Now everybody hates everyone. Constant fighting. Divorce for no reason. يَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. The ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, as we state. Constantly angry. Being congested. You don't know what is going on. You feel like always daydreaming, absent-minded, forgetting a lot. Please, I beg you, brothers and sisters, all those signs, some of whom happen occasionally to most of us, do not pick on any of them and say, oh, maybe I'm under magical spell. So next time when you start in your car, if the engine doesn't start, it's a magical spell. If you find a flat tire, oh my God, somebody has cast a magical spell on me. I'm under magic. Let me go to the sheikh. This is a black magic and so on. We actually, all of us have to be tested in this life, whether a flat tire or a car collision or the death of a loved one or poverty or loss in the stock market, it happens. But I'm talking about when somebody is experiencing many of those signs simultaneously and everything is like a dead end. Loss, encountering losses, severe headache, hates to hear the Quran or to recite the Quran, cannot pray. People whom he used to love, now he abhors, he hates. Seeing terrible dreams, even though he used not to see any dreams. Things like that. When you go to the doctor and say, headache is killing me, you don't seem like sick. Your blood pressure is fine, blood sugar is fine, CBC showing that you're healthy, you're not anemic, everything is okay. Maybe you're lacking behind in this area. So what will be the solution? Constant ruqya until this is removed. There are some professional shuyukh who have the ability of reciting on a particular person until if this person is possessed with an evil spirit or shaitan, it will come out, and that's called exorcism. And the only legal way from an Islamic perspective is through the recitation of the adhkar and the ruqya, not the utilization of other jinn. Shall we begin with answering your questions after your permission? As I said, wallahi, this topic normally is taught in a whole course, in a course of aqidah. But for the sake of time, and as I said, I can never say no to the brothers and sisters of An-Nawawi Institute out of KL. So I said yes. Okay, but it can be explained further, inshallah, in the future. Do you have any questions? Shall I begin with the questions? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Let me look into the questions and try to answer them, or at least some of them. We have about 25 minutes. No, I have them all, Sister Aisha. You don't have to resend your questions. I have all the questions in front of me because I opened another device in order to collect the questions. All right. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The first question is, what is the ruling on amulets, and especially those with Quran in them? Okay, shall I give a brief and precise answer, or shall I just go in depth into the dalil and the proofs? You know, for the sake of time, I'll just give you a brief answer, because we have plenty of questions. The answer is, wearing an amulet is equivalent to kufr. It's an act of shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man 'allaqa faqad ashrak." Whoever hangs, because the amulets is not only what you wear in the wrist or in the like a necklace, but sometimes you hang it in the front mirror in the car. A lot of Arab do that. Inshallah, know all the deen. A lot of Arab, if you come to many of the Middle Eastern countries, they come out of the masjid and they start the engine of the car, and they have a symbol of a hand of five fingers or a blue eye. What is this for? They say it's for protection, so that you don't get in a car accident. Some people might give you an evil eye or whatever because you're driving a Mercedes. When I was a child, and I see some people when they buy a brand new Mercedes, they put a horseshoe on the front bumper. I asked my dad and I asked people, that's such a beautiful vehicle. And a horseshoe, what is this for? They say it's in order to ward off the evil eye. This is an act of shirk, associating partners to Allah in worship. So you think that this amulet, this ta'weed, this talisman, or this horseshoe, or the rabbit foot, will prevent the decree of Allah from taking place? This is foolish. This ain't true. Okay? She asked, or whoever asked the question also said that somehow, I assumed it's she, I don't know why. They said, especially with the Quran, Habibi, my dear brothers and sisters, the Quran was revealed to be recited, understood, and practiced. Not to write it in a talisman and wear it around your neck. This guy who's been praying for 20 years while wearing this amulet, I like to call it samosa because they make it like a triangle. It looks like samosa. And what is this for? He says, my grandma gave it to me and said, never take it off. Even while showering, he goes to the shower. While wearing it, he put it in a plastic bag. 20 years later, after people convinced him, at least see what is in it, and this is haram and whatever. You know, when people travel to the States, they get exposed to other madahib and sometimes to the correct people. And when he undid it, some unknown letters put together and around a mouse leg. Yes, a mouse leg. So he's wearing najasa and praying, making his prayer for the past 20 years invalid. Haram, haram, haram. Do not ever wear an amulet or talisman. Okay? I hope this is a very important question. The second is, we are told that the morning and evening adhkar protect us from the magic and the jinn. But why do some people still get affected despite reciting adhkar? That's a good question. I answered part of it partially a few minutes ago when I said, whenever the person recites without attention, you know what? When I recite Bismillah الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. That's a beautiful recitation. Three times in the morning, three times in the evening, that's sufficient. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. Three times likewise in the morning and the evening, that is sufficient. The adhkar of the morning and the evening, they are for your own goodwill, for your the means of your own protection, yourself and your family members. You see how much people pay for insurance, commercial insurance and life insurance? I don't do that. Years and years I lived in the States. I don't buy insurance, house insurance, or the premium full coverage insurance. The basic is a must, of course. Health, because you recite your adhkar while you truly put your trust in Allah. You do not recite them and say, I've tried everything, let me try this one too. Allah is not to be tried and tested. He tests us, we don't test him. Okay? So, And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows things to happen as means of test, it doesn't mean that the person is not a good person, but he will be tested. And that may happen. But those who do not recite the adhkar are openly exposed to the harm of the jinn, the shayateen, and the sorcerers, versus those who take their armors and their means of protection through reciting the adhkar. Third question, how can we know that somebody is been possessed by the jinn or is under influence of magic? I think I just did answer this question. Okay. Versus, of course, the clinical diagnosis, which needs to be confirmed via psychiatrist. And many times, the psychiatrist said to me, you look perfectly fine. You don't need any tranquilizers. You're a very sane person. I don't know what to do with you. And the person is very wise, but sometimes, and some places, or whenever he's dealing with his wife, he goes crazy. Okay? Not because of his mother-in-law, but because all of a sudden things have happened. So in this case, we need to look into this area. So what do? We say, we recite Surah Al-Baqarah. If the person is capable to recite Surah Al-Baqarah entirely, then this person is free from any possession. Because if the body is possessed with some Satans, they can never tolerate hearing the Quran, especially Al-Baqarah Surah. Following question, is it self-administered ruqya or by a relative for a possessed person? I would like to incorporate this question with another one asking about the 70,000 people who will enter Al-Jannah without reckoning. And the Prophet ﷺ said, their qualities among them, la yastarqun. Look, Habibi, my dear beloved viewers, brothers and sisters, can I recite ruqya for myself? As you said, that self-administered. Absolutely. We should do that. And why do we recite it to others? I walk into my kids' bedroom. They're asleep. I look at them. You know how some people say you look like angels. Okay, sometimes that thought crosses your mind. So right away, it reminds me to recite ruqya upon them. أعيذكم بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. إن شاء الله, I will post some of those supplications with their meanings after the live broadcast is over for your convenience. I know I've posted them many times, but that's okay. We'll do that again, إن شاء الله. Okay? So you don't have to ask for it again. So do self-administer the ruqya upon yourself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever any of you is aching or having any sickness, you put your right palm on the body part which is aching. Whenever I have a migraine, my wife is having migraine and sinusitis all the time. So I put my hand and I recite the ruqya. It gives her relief. And I say, do it to yourself. And whenever I'm not feeling well, I recite the ruqya. You know, nowadays with COVID-19, Alhamdulillah wa shukrullah has been proven very effective. A lot of the prophetic advices, irrespective of administering some herbs. Okay? Thousands of cases have been posted that I have used this and it's effective. Whether the black seed or al-qustul hindi, inhaling al-qustul hindi, etc., etc. In addition to al-adhkar. One of those who have recovered was talking to me right now. I said, Sheikh, I have found out that the greatest means of recovery. No, he was in the hospital and it didn't help. Okay? He said, wallahi, reciting the adhkar and taking those medications which the Prophet ﷺ suggested. I'm not prescribing them now, right now, as the cure for COVID-19. But what I'm saying, a Muslim should trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. So Allah says, if you recite this dua, you will be cured. I recite it with this full conviction. Self-administer it. Do it to others. Whenever you know somebody is, you assume that he's a good person, praiseworthy person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those 70,000 who will enter Al-Jannah without reckoning, they do not ask for ruqya, they put their trust in Allah. They recite it upon themselves. But they, you know, they feel it very heavy to ask people, please pray for me or recite ruqya upon me. Okay? So they are in a very high level. But is it permissible? Can I say Sister Sasneen, can you recite Ruqya for me? Sister Wafa, brother so-and-so, can you recite Ruqya for me? Yes, it is valid. But according to the hadith, you're not one of the 70,000 who will not be reckoned or accounted and will enter Al-Jannah without any reckoning. Okay? Next question. There are a lot of videos online of people performing magic, illusionary tricks with cards, coins, etc. Is watching of those videos haram? And the people, look, when somebody is making those tricks, they're tricks. And that's why in some of the videos they show how they tricked and eluded the viewers. This is not haram. What's making them haram is sometimes, not sometimes, normally that is accompanied with nudity. I don't know. For some reason, some tire company, firewood or whatever, making advertisement for their tires or their tankers or whatever, it must be women wearing bikinis showing the tires. Have nothing to do with it. Magic or the illusionist and those shows, they bring women almost nude and a lot of music and so on. That's what makes it haram. But when somebody is, making a trick, okay, or showing the people how he makes the trick, this is not sorcery. This is not the act of sorcery, which is equivalent to kufr, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Is belief in the existence of magic part of Islam? That was answered in the beginning of the session. And the answer again is yes, certainly. And whoever denies sihr is not a Muslim, because Allah stated so in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah. And the last part of the question, if somebody doesn't believe in the existence of magic, are they sinful? What are you going to do with what Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah? يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرِ Can there be any sort of relationship between humans and jinn? Lovely question. That's a good question. Because every now and then, even at the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, some people would come and say, I'm married to a jinni. She showed up and she said, honey, you're the most handsome hand man, human being ever. I love you. And he says, yeah, of course, as long as I'm not going to pay dowry, I don't have to buy new furniture. You just live anywhere. You can live on the rooftop. You can travel with me. I don't have to pay you a plane ticket. Technically speaking, it's possible. But from a religious point of view, it's haram. And Imam Abu Hanifa says, if a woman came and she says, I'm pregnant because I'm married to a jinni, we will apply the had on her, because that opens the door for everyone to say, I'm married to whatever. Okay? Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ الشَّيْطَانِ And Satans, they see us and we don't see them. What is the means of communicating with them? In order to utilize the jinn or hang around the jinn and see them and they sit with you and you see them and they see you, you would have to do a few things to declare disbelief first. So to get to this level, bad luck. Okay? You know what it means. So I don't want anyone to say, yeah, I was married to a jinni and I have 5 kids from her, then we're divorced. What do you think, Sheikh? I think you need to make istighfar and to repent unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me see if there are more questions. There are a lot of comments which are mere comments. وَفِيكُمْ بَارَكْ May Allah bless you. Beautiful prayers, supplications, and good wishes. And everyone said, I love you. Allah, may Allah, the one whom you love me, for his sake, love you as well. Ameen. Tahira is asking, if I'm left-handed and I cannot eat with the right hand, am I committing a sin? Try to eat with the right hand, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded. And guess what? It's doable, even if you're, all of those who eat with the right hand, because it is the fashion and it is the etiquette, they actually right-handed. So eating with the left hand, if you're right-handed, is easy. So why isn't it easy if you're left-handed to use the right hand? Especially this is an act of worship. A shaytan eats with the left hand. Do not copy the shaytan. Nazwa, I'm trying to memorize the Quran. Please give me some tips. Learn how to read it correct first. There is a beautiful app called Ayah. It's called Ayah. Download it. And you click on the ayah, you listen to the beautiful recitation of your favorite qari, and you can repeat it over and over and over. Only after you learn how to recite it correctly, then, after you learn how to recite it correctly, then you may start memorizing. And do not take a huge dose. Like the first day, the first month, the first year, 5 lines is sufficient. Half page is sufficient. Do not rush. Memorizing isn't a problem. And I think you have seen can the jinn read our minds? I'm coming to your question, Feroza, inshallah, in a little bit. Okay, but let me finish Nazwad Shari question. Okay, what matters most is the revising. So make a schedule for revising, because it is more than more important than just mere memorizing. May Allah make it easy for you to memorize the Quran for all of us. What was the question of the last sister here? Yes. Can the jinn read our minds? No, they cannot read your mind. Do the jinn know the unseen? In the beginning of the session, we said they only know what the angels used to write when they were not forbidden. But after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been sent, they cannot do that anymore. But why some of the soothsayers and so on, they can find out where things are hidden? Because this is known to someone. Versus knowing the unseen, like who's going to be born in 1 week from now? Who will die today? They don't know that. You're thinking about something in your mind. The angels do not do it. The angels do not know it. Like, guess what? If you're thinking about committing a sin, do the angels know it? No. Do the jinn know it? No. Who knows it? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you, because you're the one who's thinking about it. When you intend to do a good deed, and you don't do it, it still will be recorded for you, because Allah will order the angels to record it for you. But in reality, neither the angels nor the jinn can read your mind. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Comment on this video. Okay. Sister Amna Khan is assisting me. She's guiding the viewers what to do. Suraya Azad, I would love to learn Arabic. Easy. Piece of cake. Easy. There are a lot of classes online. But make sure that the one who's teaching you Arabic is an Arab, not a Pakistani who knows Arabic. Okay? So you learn the right accent and you'll be great in that. I know, mashallah, when I visited Pakistan and some parts of Kashmir and so on, there are some Indo-Pak who recite the Quran beautifully with zero mistakes. But there's something that we cannot deny it. You gain the accent of your tutor. So if you want to learn Arabic in order to understand the Quran, okay, then learn it from a proper tutor. There are many classes online. You can attend any of them in order to learn Arabic, and it is doable. The best, of course, is when the class is entirely in Arabic. So in the beginning, you are communicating with the sign language. You know, it will be best even if you have a teacher who doesn't know English, so that you will have to comprehend what he says in Arabic. Asma Alam, Sister Asma says, is it okay to recite wudu, dua in bathroom as both hammam and toilet are together? No, it is not permissible. It is not permissible to mention the name of Allah or recite an ayah or a supplication in the place of answering the call of nature. It's a dirty place. So what do you do? What you do is, before making wudu, before you walk into the bathroom, you say Bismillah and you start. That will do it. You say it in yourself without moving your tongue. That will do it. So that's in your mind. And then once you finish your wudu, you step outside the bathroom and you recite the dua. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabina waj'alni min al-mutatahirin or ash-shahada ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, as you know. Raisul Rahman, Sheikh, could you explain about the description of the jinn running through our veins? Excellent. That's in a hadith. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in i'tikaf. Quickly, you know the hadith. When Safiya radiallahu anha came to visit him and he decided to escort her, it was late night, it was kind of dark. Safiya was covered from head to toe, yeah, because niqab back then was okay, before it's banned by many Muslim countries now, by so-called Muslim rulers and Muslim regimes. So when she was walking with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were two companions of Al-Ansar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spotted them. They know him, but they don't know who is this woman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Ala rislikuma, hang on." And then he approached them and he said, "This is my wife, Safiya." So they said, "Ya Rasulullah, why did you tell us? We'd never think bad of you." He said, "Indeed, ash-shaytan runs. Inna ash-shaytan yajri min ibn Adam majra ad-dami min al-uruq. Runs in the human body like with the whispers, like the blood in the veins. You don't feel it. Min sharri al-waswas al-khannas. Waswas, constantly whispering. So you're standing. Oh, look at this man. He's pretending to be very pious. Look at this woman with him. You never know. Maybe she's his girlfriend. And he's in i'tikaf. And he's going out to commit adultery. You know, you didn't even open your mouth, right? You didn't say a word. But the thought is in your mind. This is because of ash-shaytan, qareen. You know, there is a blood circulation happening right now which requires a huge bomb. With every blood, with every heartbeat, bombing the blood out of the heart. Subhanallah. Do you feel it? No, you don't feel it. Similarly, when the shaitan is whispering to one, he doesn't feel it. He doesn't say, "Oh, shaitan is whispering to me." The thought crosses his mind. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, دَافِعِ الْفِكْرَةِ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ صَارَتْ خَطِرَةً فَتْفَحَّ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ صَارَتْ هِمَّةً وَعَزِيمَةً فَتْفَحَّ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ صَارَتْ عَمَلًا فَتَحَوَّلْ عَنْهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ صَارَتْ عَادَةً. I love to explain this quote of Ibn al-Qayyim. He said, whenever an evil thought crosses your mind, word it off. Say, astaghfirullah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Cut it off, man. Do not let yourself even to think about it. Do not allow yourself to absorb it or think about it. Why? Because if you do, then you will be daydreaming about it, contemplating, thinking about it over and over and over. And then when this happens, one day it will turn into a determination, like you want to do it actually. And this is what happens with those who are addicted to watching porn. After several times watching, getting addicted, now they want to act upon it. So the transformation from mere watching occasionally to addicting to acting at the earliest opportunity. Acting what? Acting some of the weirdest things that he or she could never think that one day human beings would do it. Now they will fall in it. Why? Because of getting used to watching it. So even if you did it, quit it, repent and quit it before it becomes a habit and a form of addiction. That begins with, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Oh, you believe, follow not the footsteps of a shaitan. Do you see shaitan? Nazward, Atiya, Ahmed, Hussein, have any of you ever seen Satan in your life? I haven't. Myself, I haven't. So when Allah says, do not follow the footsteps of something that you haven't seen, so how did you see the footsteps? In reality, لا تتبع خطوات الشيطان, the whispers of a shaitan. He doesn't come to you and say, Nazwat is asking, or Nazwat is asking about the memorization of the Quran. The person must be praying and regular in the ibadah, so he or she wants to do something extra. Shaitan would not come to one of them and say, no, do not recite Quran or quote the prayer. But Shaitan has a trap, masa'id, in order to distract your attention and divert you through doing something else, then one thing at a time. When you get used to it, he moves you to the next step until the person falls in the trap of a shaitan totally. That is the meaning of a shaitan ويجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم من العروق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And somebody is asking that I'm learning and memorizing, but I keep forgetting. This is typical. This is a human nature. As I said, the very first statement in the session today, Al-Insan, the name is taken from Nisyan or forgetfulness. So that happens a lot. I don't know if you guys can still hear and see me. I would appreciate if you can send a message in the comment bar to confirm that both audio and video are clear. We'll take a couple more questions, inshallah. Is playing cards permissible? No, playing cards is not permissible. Felicia Beeks, there is an imam and a spiritual healer in Trinidad that invokes the jinn in people for their gratification. Never ever trust any person who either claims or is actually utilizing the jinn. The utilization of the jinn would require the person to disbelieve in Allah and to declare loyalty to the jinn. Never trust them. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, من أتى كاهنا أو عرافا فصدقه فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد. Okay. Well, whenever I'm checking your questions, many of them are repetitive and many of them have been answered during the session, and that's why I don't have to recite the question again. As far as watching the class afterward, once I hang up right now and I conclude by making dua, you will find the whole session posted on the same page, inshallah, and it also will be on my YouTube channel. And if you're not subscribed to my YouTube channel, I would appreciate if you subscribe to it today, and I will post the address to it, inshallah, in the first comment, inshallah, after we finish. Nigar Khan, I answered your question about the 70,000 people and seek a ruqya. Okay. Sidna Umar Jouf, can I continue to recite the protection dua to my kids even though some of them are grown up, even if they have kids and grandkids? Yes, recite ruqya for them. The best means of ruqya and dua is whenever it is coming from the parent to his or to her child. Okay, as I said, أحبكم الذي أحببتموني فيه. Everyone who says I love you for the sake of Allah, so may the one whom you love me for his sake love you as well. It was lovely to spend this precious time with you, and thank you to Al-Nawawi Institute from KL, Malaysia, a lovely place that I always love to visit, and also the Student Association of the Islamic University in Kuala Lumpur, and Sheikh Muhammad Zahid, and Brother Farid, and all the brothers and sisters, and all of you brothers and sisters. May the Almighty Allah protect us all against all kind of harm, the evil eye, the envy, the whispers of a shayateen, al-sihr, al-hasad, sorcery, and the magic, and the magical spells. Allahumma ameen. اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ونعوذ بعظمتك أن نغتال من تحتنا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من البرص والجنون والجذام ومن سيء الأسقام اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم أمين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وسلام على المرسلين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Until next time, I leave you all in the care of Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.